into the final last few weeks before my book comes out. It's a weird kind of stress that I never thought. I thought I'd actually be excited. And I kind of put it down to, I know when I posted on Instagram in the past and I thought something was really good, and then it's no one's understood it, and that's frustrated me. It's like, oh, but I want it to be heard. Or the opposite, where it just explodes and I go, oh no, I'm worried that I'm going to be criticized. So it's like I've got this stupid attitude when I post stuff online that I'm going to be disappointed either way, or sad, disappointed for not being heard, or a slight fear for too many people seeing force-fed my crap and then getting criticized for it. And it still stings, like stupid little remarks and stuff. Like I'm better at it than I was maybe a few years ago, but it's still like I either read the comments or I don't. It basically, that's the only antidote to it. I don't have the thickest skin, but I'm better at not responding to stuff or just going fuck it. But it still stings. But so there's that sort of fear of not being heard, and also the fear of people being force-fed my stuff who don't need to hear my shit, and then getting criticized for that. So that's, I've got the same issue right now, that same kind of weird fear with the book. I'm not even sure if I should be saying this, because it feels like I'm just putting it out there ready to sting me by even talking about it like that. There's nothing to do. I've just got to, like, it's as they say, it's a good problem to have. And it's really, I'm just smelling my own farts talking about this. Smell it. I can't help it. But yeah, it's... I'm at every day at the moment, I'm checking on Amazon to see how the pre-orders are tracking and shit, because I can't see how they're doing in any other bookstore. I think Amazon is the only place where I can kind of get a rough periscope of how they're selling, and that also feels like another version of sniffing my own farts and then making a podcast about this as well. It's like I've tripled down on sniffing my own farts this month. I'm just looking forward to this part of the process being over, because I know that the last few weeks of promoting a book before launch is an opportunity to actually make it have some traction, or to give the book a chance. It's one of the few opportunities that I know that gives it a book a chance. And then the second one is in launch week, and then the following few weeks after that. And then the book starts to prove itself. It lives or dies on its own strength the following months after that. A book will live or die on its own strengths. So yeah, that's all I can do is plant the seed of the book as best as I can. Put it into the world, give it a good shove, blow into its sails, and then just see what happens. And so I'm looking forward to the part where it's maybe 3 months in and I've done the majority of the hard work of promoting it. Of course, promoting a book is indefinite. It's never ending. It doesn't stop until the book is either not stocked, delisted, or whatever. You promote it forever. And it's a book that I believe in, that I'd promote forever. Like, I've made a lot of self-published books that I'll no longer promote because I've taken them off. I almost feel like, yeah, that's something I've done in the last few weeks. I've just quietly removed the self-published poetry books that I've written without telling anyone, without doing a final sale or a half price sale, which I could have. I had about three or four hundred books that I could have easily, not easily, but I could have sold them for half price at least, but I decided just to keep them and they'll never see the light of day. I don't know what I'll do with them. Maybe I'll pulp them one day. It's a total waste of money, but I almost feel like they were kind of my practice books. But every book's kind of a practice book as well. Like, because, yeah, in another 2 years, I'll go, oh, look back at these traditionally published books and go, oh, they were practice books for the one that I'm currently writing. It's never ending, process. Sort of do feel like they are kind of practice books. Because I did submit something to Andrews McMeel a few years ago. You're going to be okay because you're fucked no matter what. And they didn't find it in their submission portal back then, maybe 5 years ago. And I'm thankful they didn't, because now I'm re-releasing it with Andrews McMeel off the back of Darby Love Mum's book. And I'm thankful I had 5 more years to work on that book. I'm glad I didn't find a traditional publisher until I was nearly 50. Two of my favourite poets, Billy Collins and Charles Bukowski, didn't really find anything until they were pretty much 50. Billy Collins, when he was like 48 or something. I remember he told a story about how he'd submitted this book, this manuscript, that became The Apple That Astonished Paris, I think it's called, back in 1988. That was his first major one. He calls his other ones before that his practice books as well, from the 70s. But yeah, Billy Collins talked about how that his official first book, The Apple That Astonished Paris, he said he's handed his manuscript in and the editor sent him his manuscript back, and he'd paperclipped maybe 10 pages of the 80 pages that he'd submitted, and the editor said something like, if you can write a book of the quality of these 10 poems that I've paperclipped, we're publishing you. So he threw out 90% of his book and kept those 10 pages, and then rewrote that entire first book, official book. And he's talked about how that was better than any Masters of Fine Arts program that he did. He said that was his MFA. Just having an editor select less than 10% of the poems from the manuscript that he'd submitted, and he said, write stuff like this. This is the essence. That's the good shit. And that was like in his late 40s. And then from then he churned out one book every 2 years. Bukowski was almost like one every year to a year and a half. I think I did I did some calculations and worked out, I think Bukowski was churning out something like 2.5 to 3 poems a week, which is kind of insane, one every 2 days, just any old brain fart. And I admire that, because I love Bukowski's the opposite of Billy Collins, where he'd just publish so much rubbish as well. He published so much shit. So it makes me think about my own weird career, like, where do I want to go with this? And I can't predict the future. I don't even know if there'll be more books after this. Of course, I'm going to write no matter what. I'll always write. I like how the Catcher in the Rye dude, Salinger, pretty much wrote just a couple of books, but apparently, and went into hiding for most of his life. And his son said that he wrote his entire life, he just didn't publish it. And there's kind of some sort of strange holiness to just publishing one book and then disappearing but of course that's because he could live off that one book for the rest of his life as well. I guess that makes it easier. But even if you can't live off one book and you've just got to, you just write one and that's it, I think that's worthy as well. Where was I? I started off with, yeah, nervous about the final few weeks before it's released in the US, and now I've got a new release date for Australia, which is almost around the US time too. It's now October, not November. So that'll be, yeah. I've just got to keep thinking good thoughts about it and knowing that it's the best thing that I could have submitted. I reread Darby Love for the first time in months the other day, and I was worried when I reread it for the first time in months after having submitted it months before that. And I was going, oh no, am I going to go, oh, am I going to roll my eyes at every second page? But I didn't. I was like, oh, thank God, it's still it still holds up. There's still goodness in it. And even the pieces that don't completely feel like even though there's some pieces in it that probably couldn't stand alone without the pages surrounding it, I felt like, no, that's good. You need some just pages that are world building and show what Mum was like, even in a subtle way. That doesn't have to be some incredible insight or funny joke or interesting bit of wisdom. It can just be just a dumb, stupid, mundane observation. So those boring pages in Darby Love, they're very few, but they help give it the peaks and the troughs and world build and bring Mum to life. And so that they're just equally as important as well. And I was like, oh, thank God I left those in, because part of me was just like, no, I just want every single page to be just incredible. And it's like, no, you need the boring shit in there as well. It's a weird balance trying to float a book. And yeah, I was struggling with the balance of the second one, you're going to be okay because you fuck no matter what, which I found out 2 days ago. Now that's going to be an audio book as well. So that's, I've got to record that, or I don't know how that'll happen, or someone will record it. Oh, I'm not sure. It almost feels like that second book I've written that's completely done now, it almost feels like somewhere between, almost more like a stand-up comedy set than a bunch of poems. Well, some of them do anyway, but yeah, I'm curious about how that will travel after Darby Love. But anyway, one last thing. If you want to ask any strange, interest, weird, whatever questions, I'll answer them in my next podcast episode. I'll look for your questions on Spotify or YouTube. Sorry, I don't look at my Apple stats much. But if you leave a comment on the YouTube version of this or Spotify, I'll compile all the questions and answer them in the next podcast episode next week. Yeah. Yeah, all right. See ya.